When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks, everybody. Welcome, welcome one and all to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And I have to say, tonight I am in an excellent frame of mind because it's the first day of summer. And you know what that means? Hell yeah. You know what that means? Time to slip on the Speedo. Dive headfirst into the January 6th hearings. Because this afternoon, the committee held the fourth installment in a great summer beach read I'm calling Scary Plotter and the Goblet of Liars. But also, it also happens to be the longest day of the year, and I'm sure it felt like it for the former president, Dumb Quixote. Because today, the committee laid out in shocking detail how his relentless and illegal scheme to overturn the election brought harrowing consequences for those honest public servants who stood up to the pressure to support his heinous lies. In her opening statement, committee vice chair Liz Cheney had a warning for our nation.
I would urge all of those watching today to focus on the evidence the committee will present. Don't be distracted by politics. This is serious. We cannot let America become a nation of conspiracy theories and thug violence.
It's true, because if we do, the reptilians who run the New World Order will steal our spines to use as radio towers to broadcast our location to Bill Gates. Now, first up, we heard testimony from Arizona Speaker of the House and what happens if you leave your Bowers out in the rain. Rusty Bowers. Bowers, lifelong Republican, testified that he faced massive pressure from Rudy Giuliani and other Giuliani lackeys demanding that he flip the state, which he knew he had no right to do. And here's why they thought Bowers should cooperate.
He would say, aren't we all Republicans here? I would think we would get a better reception. I mean, I would think you would listen a little more open to my suggestions that we're all Republicans.
Okay. Overturning an election is asking for some serious brand loyalty. What do you mean you won't burn down my house for the insurance money? We both drink Diet Pepsi. Are they sponsors? Sponsors? I don't know. We'll find out. The former president and the former Rudy Giuliani promised Bowers that they would eventually get him proof of this supposed voter fraud they kept talking about, but they never did. Then Bowers gave this revealing quote from Rudy.
My recollection, he said, we've got lots of theories, we just don't have the evidence. And I don't know if that was a gaffe or maybe he didn't think through what he said, but both myself and others in my group, the three in my group and my counsel, both remembered that specifically, and afterwards we kind of laughed about it.
Well, of course you laugh. Rudy's got a great sense of humor. Okay, two guys walk into a bar. Hey, that sounds like a great idea. What was I saying? The pressure on Bowers caused him some real soul searching. And today, he read an emotional journal entry from The Time.
I do not take this current situation in a light manner, a fearful manner, or a vengeful manner. I do not want to be a winner by cheating. I will not play with laws I swore allegiance to, with any contrived desire towards deflection of my deep foundational desire to follow God's will as I believe he led my conscience to embrace.
Wow. In a moment of darkness, drawing strength from a deep well of conscience and fortitude and faith. That is beautiful. And inspired by that, I wrote a pretty good one today, too. Dear Diary, today was the hearings. They made me sad, so I ate a snack. It was peanut butter on a donut. Pretty good. Still sad, though. Love, Steve. Peanut butter on. Never tried that. Never tried that before. Then we got to hear from Georgia Secretary of State and man being held hostage by two flags. Brad Raffensperger. You may recall that on January 2nd, 2021, the former president held an hour-long call with Raffensperger where he bluntly requested some election skullduggery.
So what are we going to do here, folks? I only need 11,000 votes. Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break.
That is just pathetic. He's literally begging them to invent votes for him. It's like watching an old man try to mooch an extra pancake at the Denny's. What are we doing here, folks? I only need one more pancake, fellas. And then I got a grand slam. Just flap some jacks on there, okay? Give me a break. Give me a break. And the state of Georgia. The committee. This is Rudy Tootie, rich and fraudulent. I know that's IHOP. Moons over my hammy. The committee. See, man's eating at a Denny's right there. Committee also had text messages to one of Mike Pence's aides sent from an aide to Senator Ron Johnson. The details are about Johnson trying to get a list of fake alternate electors into Pence's hands. But what jumped out to me when I saw it this afternoon was that the treasonous text chain started simply with, "Sup." Pretty chill way to overthrow democracy. Sup, OMG, let's totes seat altern eight electors for the lols. Now one of the TTFN. Now one of the most heartbreaking witnesses of the day was Georgia election worker Wandrea Shea Moss, who was hatefully and unfairly attacked by the former president and his goons. In a web video, Giuliani accused Moss and her mother of a variety of falsehoods, and of course, there was a normal, sober explanation.
In one of the videos we just watched, Mr. Giuliani accused you and your mother of passing some sort of USB drive to each other. What was your mom actually handing you on that video?
A ginger mint.
That might explain why Rudy never produced any evidence. He kept jamming Altoids into his USB ports. This isn't working! Hand me a Ricola! Damn you, Swiss! The committee. Ricola! The committee also played some truly moving footage of Moss's mother, who goes by the name Lady Ruby, explaining what it was like as an everyday citizen being attacked by the most powerful person in the world.
Do you know how it feels to have the president of the United States to target you? The president of the United States is supposed to represent every American, not to target one. But he targeted me, Lady Ruby.
Oh, no. Now I'm mad you don't dare target her. From this moment forward, America's gonna have to choose. Lady Ruby or Shady Rudy. Not everyone's. You don't go after Lady Ruby. No. She's royalty, I think. Not everyone's focused on 2020. The midterms are coming up, and there's a whole new election to undermine, complete with plenty of kooky far-right candidates like former Missouri governor and man at the hardware store asking if this tarp is bloodproof. Eric Greitens. Greitens was elected governor of Missouri back in 2016, but resigned in disgrace a year into his term after reports of an affair with a former hairdresser who accused him of abuse and blackmail. So, not the kind of guy you trust with a match, let alone a firearm. Keep that in mind when you watch his new Senate campaign ad where he attacks so-called rhinos or Republicans in name only.
I'm Eric Greitens, Navy SEAL, and today we're going rhino hunting. The rhino.
feeds on corruption and is marked by the stripes of cowardice.
Join the MAGA crew. Get a rhino hunting permit. There's no bagging limit, no tagging limit, and it doesn't expire until we save our country.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot going on there. First of all, it's rare to call for the death of a member of your own party. I've only seen it once before. Bloomberg 2020, I hear Bernie Sanders is allergic to peanuts. And I gotta say, that is disturbing, and I've got two questions about that ad. One is, what the hell? And two, what are they actually breaking into? An empty house? There's no furniture in there. Why? I don't know. Wait, and I'm being told The Late Show has actually acquired the original cut of the ad.
Join the MAGA
crew. Whoa, I'm working here. You're getting dust all over my freaking semi-gloss ram, bro. Open houses until Saturday. Tell SEAL Team Saucon to stay off my hardwood floors, and you're paying for that door. You're paying for the door, Douche Cassidy.
We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Werner Herzog.
Hi, I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I'm Dr. Naomi Bernstein.
And we want to tell you about Calm the F*** Down, a guided meditation series from the Oversharing Podcast. This is something we've been planning for a long time. It's our most requested segment from the podcast. And these meditations are going to be between 5 and 10 minutes. They're going to be super quick because we don't have a lot of time. You're going to be so surprised how 5 to 10 minutes of really thoughtful meditations can transform your whole life. In addition to the first 4 meditations available at launch, we'll be doing 2 new meditations every single month. Plus, for the fans of Oversharing Podcast out there, you'll also get ad-free versions of every episode of the Oversharing Podcast.
So if somebody wants to become a subscriber, how do they join?
It's so easy. You just go to subscribe.betches.com and sign up now for only $4.99 a month. Or you can lock in our discounted rate if you sign up for the whole year. That's subscribe.betches.com. Or if you're in the Apple Podcasts app, you can just hit the subscribe button now and sign up in the app. It's as easy as that.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Welcome back, folks. My guest tonight is a filmmaker, an author you know from movies like Aguirre, The Wrath of God, Fitzcarraldo, and Grizzly Man. He has just written his first novel, The Twilight World. Please welcome to The Late Show, Werner Herzog. Hey, Herzog, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, yeah, enjoy to be back.
It has been 11 years since I've interviewed you. The first time I interviewed you was over on The Colbert Report.
Yes.
And I was in character then. We talked about Cave of Forgotten Dreams,
yes.
You know, radioactive albino alligators and everything. I love that conversation.
Mutants.
Mutants, exactly. And I haven't seen you since, but I'm so glad to talk to you out of character.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You have become, to the public at large, as something of a character yourself. There is the character of Werner Herzog. What do you think you represent to people?
Well, it's a dangerous subject because it's just me and nothing else. And I try to stay away from categorizations and playing roles, although we should not forget that all of us are in some sort of theater that we create for ourselves, and we behave and we are performing. When you are in church, for example, you are performative. When you are best man in a wedding, you are performative. When you talk to your children. So we have settled in some sort of a performative life.
That is the Werner Herzog stuff I'm talking about right there.
Okay.
That is pure, uncut Herzog. One of the things that you've been producing lately is a new book. This is your first novel. It's called The Twilight World. And this is fascinating to me because it is about Hiro Onoda, who, and for the people who don't know, explain to the people who Hiro Onoda was.
He was the last Japanese soldier who surrendered after the end of the Second World War. But it was 29 years after the war had ended. He was on a Philippine island, left alone, and he had orders keep the island occupied until the Imperial Army returns. So he stayed in the jungle, and he would have skirmishes and had survived ambushes. And he took every little piece as evidence that he found that the war was still going on.
For 29 years, what evidence?
For 29, for example, leaflets were thrown down from planes asking him to surrender. And some of the Japanese characters were misspelled. So he knew immediately that must have been the enemy's secret service. The American Secret Service doesn't know how to spell correctly. Then he would see hundreds of airplanes, warplanes, going overhead and moving west. But that was already the next war. That was the Korean War. Then years later, B-52 bombers, aircraft carriers and battleships all passing by going west. That was yet the next war. That was the Vietnam War. For 8 or 9 years, he sees that. So it was all evidence for him, and he was hunted. His last two comrades were shot dead in ambushes. And he, Onoda, survived 111 ambushes and skirmishes. And finally surrendered.
Now, how did they finally get him to surrender?
Well, a young man, dropout from university, had three goals in life. Find Onoda, have a meeting, an encounter with the abominable snowman, the Yeti in the Himalayas, and find a panda bear in China in its natural habitat. So he sets out to Lubang Island in the Philippines, and within a day, Onoda stumbles into him and almost shoots him dead. So the Japanese guy, Suzuki, shouts out, "No, no, I'm Japanese, I'm Japanese, and I'm only 22 years old, and nice to meet you." So for an entire night, he tells Onoda what has happened in the last 29 years. And Onoda is kind of halfway convinced, and he says, "Why don't you go back to Tokyo, bring one of my former commanding officers, and only if I receive competent military orders, I'm going to surrender." So 3 weeks later, his former major arrives, 88 years old, and tells him to surrender. And he does so, and there's a Philippine honor guard standing in attention, and he hands over his rifle that he's kept impeccably rust-free for 29 years in the jungle, hands over his sword to the highest general of the Philippine army, and he immediately hands it back and says, "The true samurai keeps his sword." So it was...
And what was the reaction back in Japan?
Well, I only have heard people talking about it. It was as if for an entire minute, the hearts in Japan stood still when it was announced over the radio, because it was known all the time that they were still searching for Onoda. And the hearts stopped beating. Nobody took a breath for 60 seconds. And then Japan came back and they greeted him like a great rock star.
Now, in most of the world, people see Onoda as misguided, sort of having wasted 29 years, sort of a foolish figure if one guided by orders. What is your view of what he did and the decision he made to keep fighting?
Well, the orders were you have to set your own rules. So he was not under direct orders. He settled into the jungle and fought the war without any commander around anymore. And of course, it's tragic because it was not foolish. It was tragic because he lived a life, or lived the life of a soldier in a fictitious war that was complete reality for him. And he organized every single piece of evidence as if it was articles of faith. So like almost like religious, strange religious belief systems originate. And I am asking myself, who was the ghostwriter of his actions? Who is the ghostwriter of what we are doing right here?
It's the sponsors, I think.
Yes.
More with Werner Herzog after this.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to superfans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with the author of the new book, The Twilight World, Werner Herzog. You have such an iconic voice, and I was hoping that we could use your iconic voice to tell a few jokes.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're fairly simple jokes. I'll do them with you, if you don't
All right.
mind. Here, you say the lines that are in bold,
yeah.
And I'll say the other lines.
Okay, okay.
Well,
knock,
three
knock.
Jokes. Okay. Ready?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo who?
Do not cry.
That's really good. That's really good. You got
Thank
it, kid.
You, yeah.
you got
All right,
it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do another one. That one's just, that's you. Just you say that line.
Yeah, okay. Two peanuts were walking down the street, and one was assaulted.
Sad story.
Okay, yes. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Werner?
Thank you.
Wait, no. Please have a seat. Okay. The Twilight World is on sale now.
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wildcard, wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.